The general subject, as you may recall, is being intensified by the seven spirits. And these seven spirits are before the throne of God. And we need to be intensified by these seven spirits in order to do two things that really are part of one thing, God's economy, to carry out the divine administration and consummate the divine economy. Of course, the Lord in his heavenly ministry and as the administrator on the throne, carrying out God's governmental administration, he is always interceding for us, shepherding, directing, ruling over all things and all persons. But God has established a principle in creating man and among those redeemed and regenerated. And this principle is that God needs his people on earth to be one with him, to be fully in agreement with his will and ways, and to actively cooperate with him and coordinate with him to carry out on earth whatever the Lord is doing in his heavenly ministry. The ascended Christ, the enthroned Christ, the worthy Lion Lamb, is right this very moment carrying out the divine administration. And to be sure, he is endeavoring, operating to consummate the divine economy. But the fact that we need to be intensified implies and actually indicates that we have our part in carrying out the divine administration and consummating the divine economy. We saw in message one that Revelation is a book of consummation, a book of intensification, and a book of administration. Now, just before we turn to the outline with which we need to spend almost all the remaining time, maybe 65 minutes or so. There's so many crucial things there. But I want to read two verses to you so we are impressed with a particular characteristic of the nature of the book of Revelation. So the first verse is Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of the prophecy, and keep the things written in it, for the time is near. We can rightly view the book of Revelation and apply it properly in various ways. For instance, we may view the church life in light of the New Jerusalem. We had an elder's training on this a few years ago. The local churches are miniatures of the New Jerusalem in many ways. Or we may emphasize Christ producing the overcomers, or especially the all-inclusive Christ revealed in the book of Revelation. But this is a book of prophecy. The whole book is prophecy. And yes, as we see in chapter 6, the four horses have been galloping for nearly 2,000 years. But certain things are yet to take place, especially as we are approaching the end of the present age, that is, the consummation of the age. And one of these prophecies or prophetic elements in Revelation is that we experience the sevenfold Spirit, the seven spirits of God, to be intensified in such a way that we will conquer the negative things, whether in the world or in our own fallen being or in the situation around us. But even more, the overcomers carry out God's administration. They consummate the divine economy. All this in an atmosphere of spiritual warfare. So we should expect certain things that we will consider that they have a prophetic dimension or element, that the Lord wants to actually carry out the experience of the seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, of the seven eyes of the Lamb. He actually wants and even needs His precious people, the children of God, the brothers of Christ, the members of the body, the components of the new man. He needs us to be intensified in order to bring God's economy to its consummation. Only the churches can do this as the means God ordained for this purpose. And so our participation, as we will see in our experience, also as we will see, our experience of the seven spirits of God is in the context of the church life. Remember, toward the end of chapter 22, the Lord Jesus said, I sent my angel, my messenger, to testify these things for the churches. The scroll was sent to seven churches. We need to be actually and practically in a local church to have the full and accurate and proper realization of this book. So the verse says, hear the words of the prophecy and keep the things written in it. Well, we're charged to keep the things written in the book of Revelation. Surely we need to know what these things are and know how, in our organic union with Christ, we can keep the things. Then the other verse is at the very end of Revelation, chapter 22, and that is verse 18. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this scroll. And if anyone takes away from the words of the scroll of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city, which are written in this scroll. It is an extremely serious mistake, if not bordering on heresy, to add anything to this prophetic scroll, the book of Revelation. We dare not say, as the Mormons believe, further revelation was given in some kind of strange way, supposedly, to this person. Then they have another kind of religious text, which actually supersedes the Bible. We do not add anything. We don't add our cultural view, our natural concepts, our preferences, our anything from ourselves. We add nothing. We want to hear and assimilate and carry out all that pertains to us, the church life people, as revealed in this book. And no one should dare to take away. And some, even many, interpreters, they say, oh, that's not for us. Oh, those words in chapter 1, that's not for us. The Lord speaking to the seven churches, that's not for us. They are, in a practical way, deleting things, setting them aside. This book is a prophecy. We need to hear it, absorb it, assimilate it, be constituted with it, and then, as we will now see, as we come to the outline of message 2, we need the experiencing of the seven spirits of God as the seven lamps of fire for God's move, and as the seven eyes of the Lamb for God's administration. And we have just a few verses here. I don't think I need to read chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. The first section of the outline, I believe, gives us a view of these verses, which for the time being may be sufficient for now. But then we will really focus on chapter 4, verse 5, and chapter 5, verse 6. But I need to emphasize the word experiencing. We, in our actual personal and corporate experience, need to know experientially what are the seven spirits of God as the seven lamps of fire for God's move. God's final move, which has very much to do with Europe, very much. His final move will require that those participating in his move as members of the body, they actually experience the seven lamps of fire for God's move. If we limit ourselves to an exceedingly precious aspect of the all-inclusive spirit, that is enjoying Christ as life, as the life-giving spirit dispensing life into us, so that we may be living members of the body, we may abide in him. He's the true vine. We are the branches. We want to grow in life. We want to mature. We want to function in an organic way in the church where we are. All this is absolutely necessary. In John 20:22, the resurrected Christ breathed upon those 11 apostles in the room. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And they inhaled, spiritually speaking, the all-inclusive Christ as the life-giving Spirit. But we know from Luke 24 and Acts chapter 1 that the Lord instructed the disciples and all that made up the 120 to go to Jerusalem and wait and then clothe yourself with power from on high. They had received the essential Spirit, the life-giving Spirit. This enabled them to be one with the Lord and with one another. They applied this oneness to all their inner parts, the functions of their soul, to be in one accord. But for God's move, they needed the economical Spirit, the Spirit of power. They needed to be clothed with power from on high. And the move that's recorded in Acts, which is an open book, we're still in the book of Acts, if we understand the book intrinsically, before that move began, the Spirit of power had to be poured out upon all those believers. The Lord himself was born of the Spirit. He had the Spirit in him intrinsically, essentially. But the Spirit came upon him economically as he was baptized. And so we see in Acts the initial stage of this move under the power of the poured out Spirit. Now we make a major leap from Acts to Revelation. And when we read the first section of the outline, we will see clearly, not because I'm clear, because the Word is clear, that the divine Trinity in Revelation is altogether economical. It's for God's economy, for his operation, for his move, for his administration. And based upon this truth, in chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, and even beginning there, because we read of the seven spirits of God, we are brought into, I would say, the realm of intensification. If the Lord is able, with the saints and the churches in the Lord's recovery, to consummate his final move on the earth before the end of the age, he needs us to be intensified, and we ourselves need to be intensified. so that the Lord may move unhindered. This is a conference. Always, everything's for the whole body, but it's specifically for all the churches and all the saints in continental Europe and in the UK. You are the kind of injection point, but it's for the whole body. Simply having the essential spirit of life as our breath, as our living water, is not sufficient for the Lord's move. We need the economical spirit intensified sevenfold. So we need the seven lamps of fire for God's move. And then we need the seven eyes of the Lamb for God's administration. So sections 2 and 3 of this outline will cover the seven lamps of fire for God's move and the seven eyes of the Lamb for God's administration. But to state the obvious, sections 2 and 3 are based on Section 1. In Revelation 1, 4 to 5, we see the administration, the government, the activity, the motion, the move, the act, and the work of the Trinity with an emphasis on the seven spirits who are before his throne. Each word here is significant. Activity, motion, move, act, work. For all these, the seven spirits of God are necessary. A, the Trinity in 1, 4, and 5 is the economical Trinity, the Trinity in God's plan for his move. In God's essence, the Trinity is simply the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But in God's economy, the Spirit is complicated. So compare, when you have the time, and if you have the inclination, read carefully and muse upon the scriptures here. Matthew 28:19, quite simple. Disciple of the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is the essential Trinity, what God is in himself. And then we read the Spirit, but in God's economy, the Trinity is complicated. Maybe after all, I should read these verses, since I'm mentioning the complication, then it should be freshly before us. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is coming, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and has released us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the might forever and ever. Amen. Well, this is complicated in the sense that much more is involved in the language than simply saying, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So this seeming complexity is necessary for us to have a clear vision of the operation of the economical Trinity in the book of Revelation, because the Lord wants, I believe he's praying now, for this operation to take place among us personally and corporately, not for a moment merely, not for a short period of time, but until the end of the age. See, in essence and existence, the Spirit is one. But in function and work, the Spirit is seven. The number seven signifies intensification. Daniel 3:9, I mentioned this before, the furnace, the heat, is intensified seven times. Isaiah 30:26, the light of the sun is seven times brighter. These verses indicate intensification. The seven spirits of God, the sevenfold intensified Spirit of God, are desperately needed for God's move to be completed on earth. Brothers and sisters, this merits our prayer. Even now, as we're on this point, this is Brother Lee's utterance. I learned this from him, as you know. The seven spirits of God are desperately needed. I need to inquire of the Lord, and I'm suggesting we all need, so that I truly know where I am experientially. Lord, do I sense the desperate need for the seven spirits of God in my own life and service, Lord? Am I aware of this? Or is this merely a teaching to me, a necessary doctrine that we need to understand mentally with our whole being? And there's nothing in my mind that's judgmental or critical of anyone. But even among all the co-workers, is there a sense of desperation? Lord, we cannot go on fully. We cannot consummate your move, complete your move, simply by the Spirit as breath and living water. And not even only by the Spirit of power, as we see in Acts. We need the seven spirits. Desperately needed for what? Not for our personal spirituality, not for our church to be particularly outstanding. We're all golden lampstands. Not for our portion in the work merely, but for God's move to be completed on earth. On earth. I believe there's action in the heavens. The Lord praying, interceding, ministering heaven into us, shepherding us, carrying out the divine administration on the earth. The Lord needs his move to be completed on earth. The veil needs to be lifted from the eyes of our heart. We need the Spirit right now. And as we consider this following in whatever way, may the Spirit infuse us with a sense of desperately needing the sevenfold intensified Spirit of God for God's move. And I have much feeling and burden and positive concern for the Lord's move in Europe. The Lord knows so many persons, so many places, so many countries are in my heart as a member of the body. And we are just one with the Lord for his move to be completed on the European part of the earth. Without question, as the Lord revealed to us through Brother Lee's ministry, starting in 1973, when he released his burden in a spiritually explosive way during a Lord's Day meeting in a conference in Los Angeles. The Lord's move to Jerusalem through Europe. 3, our cooperation with God to complete his ultimate move depends on our being intensified for his move. Again, this is of utmost importance. We may readily tell the Lord and sincerely, Lord, we are here to cooperate with you in your activity, in your motion, move, act, work. Lord, we are here to cooperate with you. And then perhaps the Lord in some way will give us the realization. In order to cooperate with me, you need the sevenfold intensified Spirit. Only those who are being intensified can be useful to me for this specific goal, consummating my economy, carrying out my administration. Simply being in the church, simply contacting the Lord in a living way for our life supply, feeding on him, loving him, enjoying him, praising him, exalting him, ministering him. There's an economical move that soon will reach its climax, and the age will end, and the Lord will come with his bridal army. Our cooperation with God to complete his ultimate move. The Lord will determine and make it clear to us somehow whether or not we are in the ultimate move. I'm open to the Lord to be enlightened and corrected. I always need that. But I have the sense we are either on the verge of his ultimate move or in the early stages of his ultimate move. And again, I'm speaking this from Anaheim, California, in a room in Building 7 on the LSM campus. You are in various places throughout Europe and the UK. You understand the situation far beyond what I can understand. I believe the Lord's move to Europe, through Europe, is a major part of his ultimate move. And we are here on earth to cooperate with that. But our cooperation, even if that's our intention, even if we present ourselves to the Lord through consecration, Lord, I consecrate myself to be one cooperating with you. We need to realize whether or not that becomes actual and practical depends upon our being intensified for his move. Again, I say not intensified so that we personally can live an overcoming life and then it stops there. We want to live an overcoming life for God's economy, for God's eternal purpose, for God's will, because of which he created the whole universe and all positive things. So we need to go beyond our hope for a blessed future and the kingdom reward, to go beyond that, to care for his ultimate move. Small a, today the Spirit who is filling us and saturating us to save us organically is a sevenfold intensified life-giving Spirit. So we need the Spirit filling us, saturating us, saving us organically. This Spirit is the sevenfold intensified life-giving Spirit. All the elements of the life-giving Spirit have been intensified sevenfold. And so, the Spirit of life, sevenfold life. Grace, sevenfold grace. The Lord can do a lot in a short period of time, for instance, a month. The Lord can accomplish much in your life personally and in the church where you are and among the churches in the country where you reside, even in a month. If for that whole month, hundreds of saints are being intensified by the sevenfold Spirit of God, and they are experiencing personally and corporately the sevenfold intensification of all the elements in the all-inclusive life-giving Spirit. Now we come to section 2. The seven spirits of God are the seven lamps of fire burning before God's throne. In chapter 3, verse 1, the Lord Jesus said to the church in Sardis, "These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." Sardis, as part of the prophetic history of the church, signifies the religious denominations that were brought into being through the Reformation. And they had a partial beginning, or they had just the beginning, but they stopped. They did not complete. In Europe, as many such religious groups, with so many genuine dear believers there. But the Lord had to go beyond Sardis. The denominations produced by the Reformation to have the recovery of the local churches, Philadelphia. And so surely the seven spirits of God are needed by us so that we would not lapse into the characteristic of Sardis incomplete. But our focus now in this section is chapter 4, verse 5. And out of the throne came forth lightnings and voices and thunders. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So what is coming out from the throne? Lightnings, voices, thunders. These are actions of the throne on the earth. In Revelation 8, we have another angel that is Christ, who adds himself as the incense to the golden bowls, which signify the prayers of the saints. And when the incense of the resurrected Christ is added to the prayers of the saints, the throne responds, even reacts, powerfully with fire, with thunder, these things. This is the throne carrying out God's governmental administration. And before this throne, there are seven lamps of fire burning before the throne. And these seven lamps of fire are the seven spirits of God. Clearly, there's an intrinsic connection between the seven spirits as the seven lamps of fire and the throne. So now we can go through this part of the outline and realize some details of this intrinsic relationship between the seven spirits of God as the seven lamps of fire burning before the throne. A, the fact that seven lamps of fire are burning before God's throne indicates that the seven lamps are absolutely related to God's administration, economy, and move. On the day of Pentecost, when the spirit of power, the economical spirit, was poured out, there were tongues of fire on the heads of the saints there, indicating the spirit as fire has come. Now, toward the end of the age, sevenfold intensified fire. For us, as the counterpart of Christ, his body for his expression, the new man to fulfill his eternal purpose, as his bride to come to satisfy the desire of his heart. So we need to be part of this absolute relationship to God's administration. B, I simply believe this point by the faith infused into me. The world situation is under the flame of the burning of the seven spirits. The universal pandemic is a significant part of the world's present situation. This pandemic is under the flame of the burning of the seven spirits. All the world leaders are under the flaming of the seven spirits of God. President Trump, who's now the president, whether he will be for another term, the throne will decide. He is one of the world leaders under the flaming of the seven lamps of fire. The Kim and the Kim dynasty in North Korea is under the flaming of the seven spirits, seven lamps of fire. This is true in China, in Iran, in every part of the earth. If we just gaze upon the outward things full of chaos, lawlessness, rebellion, violence, gross sinfulness, we may wonder, where is the throne? But the throne governs. The throne is real. Our Lord Jesus has been enthroned, and the throne is carrying out the will and decisions of the throne on the earth by seven burning lamps. Christ carries out his mission as the ruler of the kings of the earth by the seven burning spirits before the throne to sovereignly control the world situation so that the environment might be fit for God's chosen people to receive his salvation. So let's focus on Europe as we're making the application. Surely we all believe there are more people throughout Europe and the UK that the Lord intends to save. He wants more to turn from the idols of their realm to the true and living God, to believe into Christ, to confess God raised him from the dead, to be baptized into the triune God, into Christ and in his death, and to be added to the body in a living way. So for this, we need to realize that the Lord will carry out his mission as the ruler of the kings of the earth by the seven burning spirits. So this should enter our prayer, not just one time because of momentary inspiration. Lord, for your move on Europe to fulfill Matthew 24:14, preaching the gospel of the kingdom to the inhabited earth. Lord, intensify us. Intensify your move. Two, the flame of the seven burning spirits judges, purifies, and refines the church to produce the golden lampstands. We know from Revelation 1 that the Lord is trimming the lamps of all the churches of the seven golden lampstands. He doesn't want to see long, blackened wicks. He wants to trim them and add fresh oil. My brothers and sisters, are we willing for this? Do we sense the need for this? We should be able to pray, Lord, cause the flame of the seven burning spirits to judge anything in me that hinders your move. Lord, cause the Spirit to purify and refine the church. Now, leading brothers, co-workers, full-timers, can we say or even think that the church where we are and perhaps are serving, it's already pure in every way. It's already been refined. We do not have the standing to say this. The Son of Man in the midst of the golden lampstands, we need his word. He spoke to the seven churches. Only one was without fault. He spoke judging, purifying, refining words. This is part of our responsibility to receive judging, purifying, and refining. Three, the burning of the seven lamps of fire is to bring forth the golden lampstands, the churches, for the fulfillment of God's economy. I am fully one with the aspect of the one work in the Lord's recovery that is going on in Europe. Absolutely one with the co-workers and serving ones there. And I'd like to enter into fully the burden for more golden lampstands in Europe. Lord, we want a golden lampstand in Belfast. We want the more golden lampstands in Greece, in Turkey, in Bulgaria, in Norway, in the Czech Republic, in Portugal, in Belgium, in Spain, in Australia, in Italy, and on. D, the burning of the seven lamps of fire motivates us to rise up and take action for the carrying out of God's economy. Brother Nee has a very helpful message, as all of his messages are, on a portion in Daniel which speaks of the wearing out tactics of the enemy Satan. And he has a strategy and a particular design for all the seeking saints, all the co-workers, serving ones, leading ones, all the faithful saints, to gradually wear you down. You don't even know what's happening. But he has this strategy. So we need to anticipate this and not fear it, but realize this is part of his tactics. And in order for us to participate in this ultimate move, we need the seven burning lamps of fire to motivate us. We should not try to motivate ourselves, stir ourselves up. We should not, in a soulish way, try to motivate others. We should not make anyone feel guilty for what they are not doing. We're not here in that realm. The motivating power is the seven spirits of God for us to rise up and take action. These two steps. Rise up. Rise up. Several years ago, I learned that nearly 300 brothers and sisters, they consecrated in some way to go to Europe. I don't know if very many or any came. The Lord knows. It's one thing to sincerely, when inspired, to make such a consecration. It's altogether different to be motivated by the seven lamps of fire. Then we rise up. We don't just say something or write down on a slip our consecration vow. Then we take action. Action. Our God is active right now all over the earth. The seven eyes of the Lamb are moving all over the earth. The seven lamps of fire are carrying out God's administration all over the earth. The word vital, like being vitalized and being in a vital group. To be vital, as Brother Lee told us, is to be living and active in our spirit. Not just living, active, active for this final move. One, in both the Far East and the United States, the Lord's recovery has taken root and is growing, but there is a great need in Europe. This is a fact. It's not the fault of anyone there. It's just a challenging situation. You know well. There's a great need. The whole body should care about this great need. The recovery in Europe is still in the stage of initiation. For this reason, the Lord's direction of his present recovery must be toward Europe. These words were spoken a few decades ago, but they're fresh, they're new, they're up to date. Wherefore, his present recovery, it must be toward Europe. It must be in, through, and with Europe. The Lord knows why. We are fully one with brotherly's vision and direction. He finished his course. We are here to carry out the commission that the Lord gave us through him. Three, for the Lord's ultimate move, we all need to pray. And I'm quoting Brother Lee, "Dear divine flame, come. Come and burn, purify, and refine, that you may produce golden lampstands." How wonderful it would be to have a line of golden lampstands from the far northern part of Italy all the way down to the bottom. The same in so many other countries. What a testimony. And what an anti-testimony to the enemy in the land that will in some way or other be part of the kingdom of the Antichrist. Look what the Lord has. Golden lampstands shining in the darkness. What a glory to the Lord. What an opening it is for him to come with his overcomers and end the age. E, the seven spirits who are the seven lamps of fire in this age executing God's New Testament economy will become the river of water saturating the holy city of God, the New Jerusalem. We know in Revelation 22 is the river of water of life proceeding from the throne. But in Daniel 9 through 10, we have the throne and rivers of fire proceeding. Those rivers of fire are for judging all unrighteousness, rebellion, evil on the earth. But in our experience, and there's a message in the life study of Revelation on this, in our experience, the more we experience the burning of the seven lamps of fire, the more we will realize now the river is flowing like never before. Lord, I've wondered about your word in John 7. Rivers of living water will flow out of their innermost being. Lord, it's happening. So in our experience, the fire that judges, purifies, refines, and motivates becomes the river of water of life, flowing more freely than ever before. Lord, make history in your recovery, more burning and more flowing. Take the earth, Lord, by fire and water, by the fire of the seven burning lamps, and then by the river of water of life, bringing in your kingdom. Point three, the seven spirits of God are the seven eyes of the Lamb for the carrying out of God's administration. Chapter 5 of Revelation, verse 6. And I saw in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders, a lamb standing as having just been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. The Lamb is on the throne. The Lamb has seven eyes. This is the economical spirit. And these seven eyes are the seven spirits of God, the sevenfold intensified spirit sent forth into all the earth. Right now, the seven eyes of the Lamb are active in Switzerland. In the Reformation, the Lord had a marvelous beginning there. I believe that little country is still precious to him in a particular way. And there was a strong beginning. The enemy came in to cause so much damage, so much loss, so much forsaking of the way of the Lord. And dear saints remaining, but hurt, weighed down. Is it not time for the seven eyes to move throughout Switzerland? Oh, to move in Zurich and then go on to Neuchâtel, to Geneva, to so many other places, then to all the other countries throughout the whole earth. We need to see this, believe this, and pray as never before. Send forth the seven eyes to every major city in Europe, to every country. Now the subpoints. The Holy Spirit is not separate from Christ, according to Revelation 5:6, in God's economy, the Spirit of God is the eyes of Christ, the Redeemer. In Revelation 5:6, the Spirit is symbolized by the seven eyes of the Lamb, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. I love this expression. Seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. These seven spirits have been sent forth to the United States. Right now, the seven spirits of God are acting to carry out God's administration in this country. The seven spirits are active in Iran, in the Arabic-speaking countries, in China, in every place you can name. We should say amen to this. We should be motivated, even inspired by this, and pray for this. Lord, we will offer prayers in coordination, in cooperation with the moving of the seven spirits of God throughout all the earth. See, the seven eyes are for watching and observing, and also for infusing and transfusing. As the redeeming Lamb, Christ has seven watching and observing eyes for carrying out of God's administration. He sees everything that's taking place. He sees into the inner being of every living person on the earth. He knows the thoughts, the intentions, the feelings, everything. He searches. He sees. And what he observes results in particular actions taking place. Again, we need to pray. Lord, according to what you observe, carry out God's administration. Do what you want to do about that situation. Lord, do you want this person to be the prime minister? Do you want this person to be the president? Do you want this woman to still be the Speaker of the House? Whom do you want in the Supreme Court? These are just illustrations. We're not here for our preference, for our politics, for our feelings in our soul toward this or that. We're not in that realm. What you observe must give you intention and feeling. Our prayer is, carry it out by the seven eyes. Two, the seven observing and searching eyes are for executing God's judgment upon the universe. to fulfill God's eternal purpose, which will consummate in the building up of the new Jerusalem. The full judgment will come when Christ returns with his bridal army. But even in this age, God has a government. And there are certain things he wants to judge and deal with now to fulfill his purpose. Three, these seven eyes are also for transfusing all that the Lamb is into our being, so that we may become the same as he is in life and nature. I treasure this point, and my experience is limited, I admit, but I've been learning not to fear the seven burning eyes, rather to treasure them. If they need to burn away this or that, let it be done now. Not when I meet you at the judgment seat, but now. And then to see even more, they look at us, and infuse us, and transfuse into us all that the Lamb is, the all-inclusive Christ. With what goal? So that we may be the same as he is in life and nature. Do you not want that to take place in you? For the Lamb on the throne, through the seven eyes, the seven spirits, to make you exactly the same as he is, not in position. He's the Lord, but exactly the same in life and nature. With the seven spirits, he is intensifying this transfusion. I say again, how much can take place between now and the end of this calendar year? A little over 3 months. If every day we allow the seven eyes of the Lamb to transfuse what the Lamb is into us, to make us his reproduction. Four, as the Lord enlightens and judges us by the seven spirits as the seven lamps of fire, he looks at us, and through the seven spirits as his eyes, he transfuses himself into us for our transformation. I think we all know this is something in human experience. The significance of eye contact with a person. And most of the time, we really cannot bear too much eye contact. I think only in the marriage relationship of mutual love can we just have this eye contact. And what is in the eyes communicate love, life, light, concern. We should be willing and thankful for the Lord's seven eyes to look at us. Are you willing to pray sometime after this meeting, wherever you are? Lord, I turn my heart to you. On my side, I want to behold and reflect you. And Lord, I'm willing. Lord, look at me. Gaze upon me. I open my whole being to your eyes. Deal what needs to be dealt with. And Lord, transfuse yourself into me. Lord, I give you this day. The only day I have for sure is now. Lord, please make this a day of transfusion. Just look at me. Then D, the Lamb redeemed us with a purpose. Not for heaven, but to carry out for which God shows us in eternity past, for which we were redeemed, for which we were shepherded into the Lord's recovery, and by his mercy preserved here until now. For him to carry out his purpose, he, the Lamb, needs seven eyes to observe us, to search us, and to infuse us with all that he is. And what I'm about to say, I know, it needs to be applied to the one speaking first. That's myself. I admit this. For the Lord's move, this point one needs to be the experience first of all the co-workers, taking the lead in the one work of the body of Christ. And all the elders, all the leading ones, all those bearing responsibility, eventually all of us. If we want the Lord to carry out his purpose, if we realize we were saved for this, then we need the seven eyes to observe us, search us, and infuse us with all that he is. These seven eyes are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth to carry out God's will, God's purpose, and God's economy. My wife and I, may the Lord receive the glory, just love to pray for God's will to be done on earth. Lord, today, in this matter, in that matter, in this place, in that place, may your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. And then the last section shows us a very personal side to this, and I simply need to read what's here. E, the enthroned Christ, guides us with his eyes. He guides us. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout all the earth to strengthen those whose heart is perfect toward him. He looks into our heart. He knows our heart. He's endeavoring to make his home in our heart. And his eyes are strengthening us. The eyes of Jehovah are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Every place. Places we should never go, never be there, never want to know about them. But the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Then finally, a precious verse. I will instruct you and teach you concerning the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. This is so intimately personal and affectionate in our life and love relationship with the Lord. He will instruct us. He will teach us concerning the way we should go. He will counsel us. His eye is upon us. He may choose to say nothing, but we sense his eye is upon me. Lord, I welcome this. I treasure this. I need to be directed by your eye. Lord, instruct me, teach me, direct me. I believe your eye is upon me. So this is message two, my brothers and sisters. May the Lord's hand follow his word and carry out throughout Europe the will and purpose of God. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.